Welcome to Nature Finds a Way, a pop culture biology podcast where we nerd out about biology facts and fiction in some of our favorite books, movies, and TV shows.
I'm Lindsay, and she's Sarah, and we are marine biologists in recovery. And today, hold on to your butts, it's time to talk about Jurassic Park.
Yay, yay, yay. All right, so Jurassic Park, as you may or may not know, is a movie about dinosaurs.
Yes, it came out in 1993. Yes. It was based on a book.
Yes.
Also came out in the 90s, which is surprising. It was very fast. Like, he was still writing.
Yeah, they bought the screenplay before, like, they bought the rights for the screenplay before the book was published.
Yeah.
So, yep. Like, it all came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're specifically focusing on the movie. I have read the book, and I do know that there's a lot more details about the science and a lot more stuff, so maybe we'll do a follow-up? Probably not. The book's really
But we have dense. So many other Jurassic things to watch.
Exactly. Probably only it's one, more likely that we'll do Jurassic World than Jurassic Park.
Yes, because I already have a whole essay.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. So, yeah, it stars Sam Neill as Alan Grant, Jeff Goldblum as Ian Malcolm, Laura Dern as Ellie Sattler. Those are the three main scientist-y people in it. And then we've got...
Santa Claus,
a.k.a. one of the Attenboroughs.
So. Not the one who does the real science.
Yep. As Mr. Hammond. Dr. Hammond?
John. Just Mr.
I think it's just Mr. Hammond. Yeah. And
Sam Jackson
as a computer guy and... That other guy from...
His name is Wayne Knight.
Okay, Wayne Knight playing but the...
Everybody knows him as Newman.
Newman, yeah, like the douchebag computer, disgruntled computer tech. And there's some kids and, you know, 5 or 6 dozen dinosaurs.
Exactly.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Good times. Lindsay, when did you first watch the movie?
I remember watching it when I was 13, so 1997. And getting to the jeeps, mm-hmm. and, like, the shot where there's no goat anymore, and right. not being able to watch it anymore. Because I don't know if we talk, I don't think we talked about it in Jaws, but I can't do suspense.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. I could barely get through I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't watch that.
Yeah. Like, no. Give me all the blood in the world.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of also in real life, like, not that I want to be around blood, but it doesn't bother me, but...
Yeah.
Blood and gore and all that jazz is fine, but suspense, can't do it. Like, yeah. The only way I got through Jaws the first time was because I really, really wanted to, and then mm-hmm. I saw the shark and I was like, I gotta watch this movie all the
yeah.
time. And so I saw Jurassic World 2, sorry, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park 2.
Yes.
First.
Oh, all the way through.
All the way through.
Huh.
Which is weird. And that's the only time I ever saw that.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I remember, is random spoiler for Jurassic Park 2, is Jeff Goldblum's daughter doing... gymnastics on a bar to kick a raptor in the face.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe like I never saw it in the park because I couldn't go then when it was in the park. I know I saw it when it was in 3D because I have distinct memories of like it was the first time I ever saw it on the big screen, so I must have seen it before then at some point.
Yeah.
But on the big screen I was like, even before you realize, like, take in the 3D, it's just a big screen, especially with the sound, and you're like, holy shit, this movie is awesome. And then, as you're watching it, and it looks great, and then the end of the kitchen scene, when the raptor jumps into the mm-hmm. ceiling tiles, you're like, oh my god, this is in 3D!
Yeah.
You pee yourself a little bit.
Nice.
When did you first see this movie?
So, when it came out, I was, like, 11, which is, I would say, like, too young to watch that movie, yes. in the theaters especially. So I was not allowed to go see it in the theaters, which, like, looking back on it, totally the right decision, Mom.
But the worst thing that ever happened to you?
The meanest thing that my mom ever did. Even though, like, none of my friends were also allowed to go see it. Like, it's not like I had people to go watch it with. It's not like I went to movies without grown-ups.
Yeah.
Even. Well, maybe.
I don't know.
When did Free Willy came out? Because that, I think, is the first movie that I saw without grown-ups.
94? Yeah. 95?
Because my parents are like, oh, yeah, no, we don't want to see that. Anyways, yeah, I know that my parents, like, we would have rented it when it came out on VHS. And then, we owned it. We owned it. And then I think it came out, either, movies were weird and, like, things would be on VHS and then they would also be in, like, second run theaters still sometimes. So I definitely saw it in the theater, like, back then as well, but I'd already seen it by then, and my parents had realized that it wasn't, like, it was violent, but it wasn't actually as bad as
yes. There's they no thought. Person against person
violence. Exactly, and that, I think, was their big thing, was, like, it's violent and scary, but it's not, like, characters being evil, which yeah. I think was more what they...
the purpose of concern, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then since then, I did not go see it in 3D, but I have seen it in the, there's like a Movies in the Park. So they do like a big inflatable screen, like in the woods, and it's amazing. And then you're a little bit freaked out walking home through the woods.
Yeah.
In the dark.
With the dinosaurs.
Yeah. So good.
I was just going to say, your parents probably got over it because 1993 was right before ER started, and then you started watching ER right at the beginning.
Yeah, like the second year.
Yeah. So then they're like, whatever.
Yeah, well, and also I think, like, it was more that they didn't want me to go see it in the theaters until they'd seen it mm-hmm. was a big thing, like, to, you know what I was watching and be able to talk about it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, all fine. All fine. So, 1993, scientifically speaking, was a different time.
That's weird. Yeah. It's only 25 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but, like, there's a lot of, especially in the world of DNA, genomes, and cloning that has completely changed since then. So in 1993, we'd figured out how to do DNA sequencing, and we'd sequenced some genes, but we hadn't done a complete genome. So the first complete genome was sequenced in 1995, some bacteria that I could try to pronounce, Haemophilus influenzae.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's the flu.
No, but is the flu a virus?
Yes, because you can't track it. Because you can't treat it.
Yeah.
Right. So,
weird. And then the human genome was done in 2003. The first full organism, like multicellular organism that was cloned was 1996, Dolly the Sheep, which mm-hmm. a lot of people remember. So the fact that this movie came out that, like, is essentially cloning, and even, like, harder than actual cloning, and seemed like they would have been doing it for a while, came out in 1993. It was definitely more like science fiction than you might think if you watched it now.
Yeah. I remember cloning was a really big thing in the 90s. I guess.
Well, because they were trying to figure out if they should do it.
If they should, and like what it would be, and if they can, and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, like, that's probably the first huge thing is, like, it is, I hesitate to say that it's possible, but, like, if you had enough genetic material,
mm-hmm.
and you had a way of getting it and sequencing it properly and safely without it being degraded, which, like, they have troubles doing with, you know, like, frozen embryos, like if they're trying to do in vitro fertilization,
yeah,
like, and they're like frozen, preserved perfectly,
yeah, and there's so much stuff, like crime wise of
mm-hmm.
well, first of all, it wasn't stored properly because nobody knew about DNA,
but also
that kind of stuff,
the like the mosquito in the amber,
yeah, that's
was
not stored,
properly either, right? So, like, yes, you have genetic material, but it's probably denatured and broken mm-hmm. up, and yeah, so, and like two drops of dinosaur blood, maybe,
yeah. That's not a lot.
Not a lot. Like, so, yeah. There's definitely some feasibility issues there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been talking about, like, they've found whole, like, flash frozen, basically, woolly mammoths.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, talking about, like, they maybe could potentially clone them. And then there's the whole ethical
thing. Well, is it a cloning or, like, growing one in an elephant?
Which is
cloning. I guess it's cloning. Yeah. It's just starting from the beginning, not, like, immediate double.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, like, which is how they did Dolly the Sheep, too,
yeah.
right? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
They just found, they got genetic material from one sheep and you know, implanted an embryo in a sheep.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, with dinosaurs, you can just do eggs, which is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. So, I guess we could talk next a bit about behavior.
Yeah, so obviously, as most people know about the generic things we know about dinosaurs, and how there's a lot we don't know because it's only bones. So like, as me, especially watching it for this, for our podcast, but as I am when I watch all movies that feature animals, I'm like, is that the real behavior of that animal? And we have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
But we do know that animals like to eat, swim, and make baby animals.
Yeah.
To quote some other movie. So the fact that the raptors and then the T-Rex at the end spend their time chasing one group of people, especially the raptors. Mm-hmm. In the kitchen scene, they're chasing two little children, and there's two raptors. Like, that's not enough food for the amount of energy they're spending.
Exactly.
At all. So it's very unusual behavior for what we would expect from a normal predator.
Yeah.
We have no, like, they talk a lot in the Jurassic movies about velociraptors being maniacal and evil and all that jazz, but...
But they still have, like, the same energy balance considerations to deal with.
Like, and also, it's strange, like, they talk a lot about it, these movies, about how they're a pack, and they hunt in a pack and all that stuff, so if you're a pack, even if it's just two in the end of the kitchen scene, it's, that's not enough food for two animals to make up for that energy.
Yeah, crazy.
In the first T-Rex scene with the Jeep, that, it makes much more sense, because...
Yeah.
The T-Rex is more, is not, like, there's, first of all, there's five humans.
Yeah.
At the beginning or something. But the T-Rex isn't really focused on the humans as much as he's, he doesn't know what the Jeep is. So she's more interested, she's not moving a lot, she's not spending a lot of energy. She's more interested, she's curious to be like, is this food?
Yeah.
All I ate was this puny little goat.
Yeah.
Can I eat this thing? It's bigger than a goat. Nope, it's made of metal. Oh, there's Toy Surprise.
Yeah.
Is that food? Okay, maybe. Yeah. Let's also, poke at it.
She's not running around chasing
it. Yeah, she's not expelling any energy.
She's just, like, poking it.
So,
yeah. That scene, I think, is, like, pretty believable.
Believable for being a T-Rex. Yeah. Yeah, so...
I don't know.
But we have no way of knowing. There's a lot of things we don't know about raptors, or dinosaurs in general, including what they look like. Or if they have feathers, which leads us to our next point.
Yeah, evolution. So, in, like, I remember growing up, and definitely after Jurassic Park, like, it becoming sort of mainstream knowledge that, like, birds evolved from dinosaurs. Like, people aren't 100% sure, although they found some fossil imprints that have, like, pin feather kind of, like, prints, basically, in the fossil. So, like, they're more and more and more sure, and, like, as they're able to do, analysis of, like, common ancestors of all birds and go take that far back, then they found, like, fossils of what's, like, could be one of the common ancestors of birds, and they're even more similar looking to dinosaurs. So, like, yeah, they're way more sure, but it seems like that certainty came even before the dinosaur, before Jurassic Park, like, 1993, but, like, everybody at this dig is kind of laughing at Dr. Grant for thinking that birds evolved from dinosaurs, but, like...
they call him a crackpot.
They call him a total crackpot and stuff, but it seems like that knowledge hadn't, like, dispersed into pop science yet by that point, but, like, the scientific community about, like, evolutionary biologists and dinosaur paleontologists and stuff were, like, pretty, like... I mean, I'm sure there were still some people who...
Yeah, well,
discredited it, but
you know, it's evolution.
Yeah, like, you can never be 100% sure. Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, I wasn't a kid who was, like, all about dinosaurs, but I still knew my basics.
Yeah.
Which we can tangent right now into the Brontosaurus and
the
Hadasaurus and the Brontosaurus is the Pluto of dinosaurs. in case you don't know, the Brontosaurus that you grew up with, if you are similar to our age, is... They've discovered the first fossil they found was Brontosaurus in the late 19th century. They named the Brontosaurus genus, and everything was grand, and they're like, dinosaurs, woohoo! But they didn't have the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then there was another guy who found it, like, look at this skeleton, I'm gonna name it the Apatosaurus, woohoo! And then eventually people were like, shit,
that's the same thing.
But, and the guy who found the Apatosaurus was first.
Yeah.
And that's how science works. So... Yeah. They've now found three species of the Brontosaurus genus, but it is very, very similar
yeah.
to what you think a brontosaurus is if you watched The Land Before Time.
Well, and I think it would have been, like, let's say there was 10 species that were brontosaurus / apatosaurus, and then they were like, oh, wait, that genus is actually apatosaurus. And then as they've done more and more looking at these, I don't know the exact number, but 10 species, they realized that 3 of them could be in a different genus, and so they yeah. chose to call that genus brontosaurus.
So that people would be less sad.
Yes.
So. Also, diplodocus yeah. are the same
yeah.
shape.
Yeah.
Also,
there's a, like, it's a sort of general body broad, shape, like yeah. a order. No, family.
Mm-hmm. Fine green Philip. Sand.
Yeah. Oh, that, what's your?
Oh, king's white chest on fine green sand.
Oh, King Philip came over for good soup or sex, depending yep.
depending on what
on which grade level you're in. Of grade you're in. Yeah.
Yep.
High school versus university.
I've heard that one too, yeah. but fine green sand was what I learned. So yeah. yeah. Where were we going with this before that?
Oh,
birds, yeah. birds, yeah. So, I don't know when I first heard that theory, but I was like, yeah, sure, because I'm a biologist, and yeah. evolution and is how I roll.
Mm. And, like, the evidence supports it.
I also like, believe that whales evolved from ungulates.
Yeah.
So, why shouldn't I evolve, believe that birds evolved from dinosaurs? Have yeah. you ever seen a baby heron?
Yeah.
It's exactly like a dinosaur.
An ostrich?
Yeah. We were watching this, not the raptors, the ones who herd.
The herding ones, yeah, when they're getting chased.
They look exactly like ostriches. And yes, yeah. I know this is a movie and those are CGI, but.
Yeah, but. Yeah. yeah. I'd also like, a, like, bird claws look like yeah. dinosaur feet, especially like bigger birds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so. Ostriches. So, yeah. yeah. Not surprising. And, like, there's more than just, like, general looks. Like, there's a lot about, like, the orientation of how their hip joints are, like, sticking sideways versus sticking up and down. And, like, just if you compare, like, a crocodile to a bird, like, a crocodile is a reptile that's not related to dinosaurs, and its legs stick, like, straight sideways. And then birds, their legs go up and down. And also, so do dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's more complicated than just the direction of their legs. It's actually about, like, the way their hip pelvic girdles are built.
Oh, yeah, you did it!
Lindsay's favorite biology word, maybe.
Maybe. And then another thing, in this movie, there's the whole scene with a Triceratops, Sarah's favorite dinosaur, because yes. it's a Ceratops,
yeah.
Being sick, and they don't know why, and that's, we looked it up, that's part of the book, is that you can't, they're not finding the toxic berries in her dino droppings
mm-hmm.
Because she was using them much like birds do by yeah. swallowing them to help digest yeah. food and then regurgitate.
Yeah, and like they were eating, she was eating rocks
yeah,
mostly, basically. But like also would eat these berries not to be food but to grind around in their stomach like birds do in their crops and other animals do it too. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, and then regurgitating them so yeah, yeah. they wouldn't be in
there. Yeah. One other thing I didn't mention in behavior is almost eerily similar to the Meg in our other episode is that, especially in the Jeep scene, they talk a lot about T-Rexes cannot see you mm-hmm. if you don't move and then yeah. you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's a really big plot point. But T-Rexes, yes, tiny, tiny eyes, tiny, horrible tiny vision. Eyes.
Terrible vision.
Can smell like the Dickens.
Yeah.
I found an article I'll put in the show notes that they're like, T-Rexes can smell really well, they can hunt at night just by smell,
yeah,
all that stuff, so that ruins that entire scene.
Yeah, even in the daytime, they're not super relying on their
no, it's eyes. Like, look at them, they have tiny arms and tiny eyes. Yeah. Big nostrils.
Big noses.
Big claws, big teeth, big noses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So, is there anything else about, behavior that we had?
Yeah. Well, this is about when we're going to talk about
and then, yeah,
reproduction.
So, yeah, so we can talk about reproduction. So the sort of key premise of the movie, or one of, is that they only put female animals out into the park. They only created female animals. So there's no way ever that they could reproduce. But. Life finds a way.
Finds a way.
Yay!
Yay!
Our inspiration for the title. But they would have been much better to actually just make male ones and no females.
Yep, because you can't really go backwards.
Yeah.
But you can go forwards chromosome-wise. That sentence didn't make sense except in my head.
Well, yeah, like, not even chromosome-wise. Like, there's at least 50 vertebrate species and countless invertebrate species that reproduce by a process called parthenogenesis, which is basically females make eggs, and sometimes, even when they're not fertilized, they can turn into new little baby animals.
Yeah.
Basically, it's asexual reproduction. So, the offspring would be a clone of the mother. So there's at least 50 species of vertebrates, including fish, lizards, snakes, frogs, and salamanders, that have populations that are entirely female. So, like, there's no males, and they're self-sustaining population, and they just clone.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe every now and then a male pops in and adds a little genetic diversity.
Yeah.
And then there's also several species that do it spontaneously, sort of like, oh, oops, I had a baby. including a few species of sharks and Komodo dragons. So, like, large animals.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this whole scene in the movie where they find the eggs, and Alan's like, oh, but there's this one species of frog, which they used amphibian DNA Mr. Dino DNA tells you about that.
Yeah.
And there's this one species of frog that reproduces, that when it's all alone can sometimes reproduce. Mm-hmm. But there, even besides the asexual reproduction, there are most reptiles, and we'll put a link to this as well, their eggs, the gender of their eggs is determined by the temperature of where their eggs are. So if it's turtles, they dig the hole in the sand, the eggs go in, and depending on the temperature, they're female or male when they're hatched.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it have just been easier to do that?
Yeah.
Since dinosaurs are reptiles?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is that's definitely also something that stood out to me.
They should
this
have
time
just
around.
Made them all males. Yeah, because males don't lay eggs.
Males can't produce eggs.
Yeah,
they can only produce other stuff, and that doesn't do nothing.
Yeah, unless they're clownfish, in which
true,
the clownfish turned into a
clownfish
female.
Turned.
Yeah, so I think
the other way
animals
around.
Can turn into females, not males, but the spontaneous asexual reproduction is basically,
much easier.
Is much easier when you have a female.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So, that's probably about all we have about reproduction, and pretty much all we have about, specifically about dinosaur science. So we want to take a bit of time to talk about scientists and scientific ethics.
Yes.
So, do you want to talk a bit about the representation of scientists in the movie?
Yeah, so, they're, just in general, both the children are represented very well. They both have good knowledge bases, and which are plot useful.
Yeah.
The boy is dinosaur nerd, like all boys who are eight.
Especially, like, just post-Jurassic Park.
Yeah, all boys who are eight that I've ever known.
Yeah.
And the girl ends up having really random computer knowledge. She calls herself a hacker, which is really funny. In 1993, we had this whole long conversation about whatever it is that she's hacking. Like, her family is rich, so maybe she has...
like
internet?
Yeah, like internet was tiny baby internet.
Yeah, like I had a computer in 1993, but I just played a CD-ROM Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, and like Oregon Trail or Cross Country Canada,
Yukon Trail, which I think was even later. Anyway, and that Fisher Price school bus game. That was a good time.
Yeah.
Regardless, they have good skills that are plot useful.
Yes,
both of them. And in the very beginning, Ellie, Laura Dern's character, is overtly sexualized with her ridiculous short shorts and her long leg shots in the helicopter, sitting all sexy-like in a helicopter, which is very strange.
Yeah.
But since she's overly sexualized, but we could get into all of that, but there's no need because there's equal bias over sexualization as the most famous shot of this movie, which everybody knows is the Jeff Goldblum shot,
like,
which makes absolutely no sense.
Open for no reason because his shirt's open because he has a leg injury.
Yep. 100%. And his shirt stays open for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Why? Nobody cares.
It doesn't matter to me.
Does not matter.
Good times.
It's great and makes me feel better about the sexy Laura Dern leg shots at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's equally biased
sexual
over-sexualization.
Yes.
For the majority of the movie, Laura Dern's character is quite smart. She's proactive. She gets a lot of stuff done. She carries the plot. She's not a wimp. She doesn't ever have to be rescued.
No, like, she goes off and, like,
she goes
does
off
things.
While, what's his face? The guy with the gun.
Oh,
not
yeah.
hunts the raptors and then
gets attacked. Like she does the thing and he dies and Jackson dies and
she fights all the raptors and all that stuff. But at the beginning they do dumb her down quite a lot for the growth of the two male characters. She's a paleobotanist, which I guess means she studies plants. Dead plants from the past.
Yeah, like prehistoric plants.
Prehistoric plants, which is fine. Why she's taking care of a sick triceratops, nobody really knows.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she worked her way through university working in a vet clinic.
Maybe.
Wouldn't be the only person I know.
No, true story. But, so she's a paleobotanist, so she knows a lot of stuff about plants, and she knows a lot of stuff about dinosaurs, and that's great.
And evolution.
And evolution. But she's dealing with evolution, she's dealing with trying to figure out evolution of life, and dealing with her entire basis of study is based in the past, based in the unknown.
Yeah.
And she does not know what chaos theory is.
Yeah, no.
Like, I learned what chaos theory was in, like, grade 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know what chaos theory is, but it's like, so there's lots of things that happen and we can't predict them. Is like the basis, and that's so like obviously she doesn't need to be an expert in chaos theory.
No, but she just needs to have heard of it.
Well, and like she would be doing models of like ecosystem models and also evolutionary models and like
probably way more than a normal paleontologist
would be. Because she would be dealing with plants. Well, and also, like, reconstructing what the ecosystem looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, anytime you're doing ecosystem modeling, you're gonna have to be throwing in some chaos because, well, have you looked outside?
Yeah, exactly. And also, they're plants. They reproduce by the wind, like, some of them.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, like, the cat who ate the berries and then carried them along and poop was the fertilizing to grow the trees. Like, that's, that is chaos.
Yeah,
like,
so, anyway, so she's, like, shown to not know what chaos theory is so that she and Dr. Malcolm can have, like, an actually really cute, otherwise flirty scene, and then Dr. Grant can be jealous, but, like, she wasn't that dumb.
No. Nope. And Dr. Malcolm is a doctor chaos theory?
Mathematician, mostly, probably?
Yeah, nobody really knows or why he's there.
Yeah. Well, he, like, he does... Aside from, like, the chaos theory stuff, like, he seems to be more of, like, a philosophical scientist.
Yeah, it's very strange. He does have the whole line, which is the dinosaur ethics, which is you were too busy wondering if you could to think about why you should.
If you should.
Whether or not you should, which is the basis of the whole movie and the basis of a lot of things in life.
Well, and I guess another less realistic thing, like, there's no way that any... You like a university or government affiliated scientists would have been able to be involved with a project like this, because for them to get involved you have to get ethics reviews, and there's no way that Jurassic Park would have passed any ethics reviews.
No. 100% no.
No. So I mean, when he does that speech, like, that part of the speech is good, like, too busy wondering if you should or if you could think about if you should. But he talks about, like, that Mr.
Hammond
is, like, standing on the shoulders of giants, and that he, like, it was unearned information and he just bought it. But, like, yeah, he, I guess, personally bought it. But the scientists that he's employing, like, every scientist stands on the shoulder of geniuses.
Yeah.
Like, that's
how science works.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You take what's come before you, and, you know, as a community of scientists, you...
Evolve.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, and you extrapolate, and you do new things, and...
Yeah. And you test, like, the previous theories, and you prove them wrong.
Yeah, you prove them wrong, you prove them right, you extend information, and...
And you decide that brontosauruses are actually
apatosauruses.
Yeah,
but the thing that his project is missing is the ethical oversight.
And also, the insurance. So, scientists... are pretty good.
Yeah.
Alan, I have no issues with
Alan. He's great. And Sam Neill. God, he's so dreamy.
Yeah. But Dr. Hammond, Mr. Hammond, in the trivia, they talk about how Michael Crichton was wanting him to be kind of like evil Walt Disney, which is fair, except he's like, no, I will not allow people to do an insurance policy on my park full of dinosaurs, which... We're going to talk about theme parks full of dinosaurs when we get to Jurassic World later. Yeah. And boy, listeners, do we have some things to say.
Indeed.
But
oh boy.
like, if you're going to open anything to the public, yeah, you have to have insurance. Like, Starbucks has to have insurance.
Yeah.
Like, McDonald's got sued because that woman spilled coffee on her lap.
Yeah.
And she sued them because it burnt her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was dumb. So that's why it says, caution, the beverage you're about to consume is hot.
Yeah.
On all coffee cups in the world. So...
Yeah, like, you would have to have insurance.
You have to, like, did you not have insurance? Like, what about all of the people, like, the entire point of why these scientists are there is because one of his employees died at the beginning when they were transferring the raptors.
Yeah.
Why wasn't there insurance before that?
Yeah.
Why were these people working? It was, like, super sketchy people working, and they had this whole system set up.
Yeah, and, like, and they would have had to be going for at least, I don't know, like, 5 years,
like, maybe? The growing of the dinosaurs is one thing, but the amount of code that Newman wrote, and, like, all of that set up, and the building the electric and fences.
Growing the big plants.
Growing the extinct plants. All of that stuff. The talk at the beginning about the raptor and how they'd pack and she was feeding and like she kept changing her behavior. So, like, she's been around for ages. You were saying the Triceratops.
Yeah.
His horns.
Her horns are looking pretty, like, cracked and damaged, which, like, happens through use, and that would take a couple of years, potentially, at least. So
what was the entire park uninsured at that point?
Yeah.
Too? Like, it's just...
Yeah, like, how long have they been running this, like, top secret dinosaur thing and, like, hiring people under the table for billions of dollars? Like...
Yeah, it's just... It's so strange.
So strange.
Yeah, and as the Honest Trailer points out, like, we're not even going to get into the spared no expense, but because that's just so ridiculous. But, like, you couldn't pay Newman, like, a little bit more money? Yeah.
Or, like, put in good fences?
Yep. Or maybe make the cars be able to drive instead of just on the tracks. Why do they have steering wheels?
Yeah.
Also, why was there all of that food? I know the people were there for a visit, but, like,
but there's like six of them
all sitting out.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of, like, where's the cook?
Yeah, where's the cook?
Well, I guess, like, they send people off, but, like, the people had to leave so quickly because of the storm that they couldn't put things in the fridge?
Yep.
Apparently?
Apparently. Anyway, sorry if we ruined this movie for you.
It's still really good.
It's really, really good. The score is absolutely incredible.
The score is insane.
The CGI is amazing, considering it's 1993.
Yeah, no, the CGI holds up really well. The general plot, honestly, does hold up really well. I just, like, I mean, if we come across as, like, nitpicking, like, I love being able to do this. Like,
exactly.
Because there's so much detail, there is stuff to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like we're talking about Sharknado, where we're like, well, we're not even going to get into that.
Yeah.
But we have to.
There's so,
like,
much to look
if
at.
Besides the fact that they made dinosaurs come back.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other issues.
Exactly.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Same with the Meg.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're both, like, yeah, there's just lots to talk about. And I don't know, there's lots to think about, too. Like, how, you know, how, like, what would you change to make it more accurate or more safe or more viable? Like, if you, you know, if you take the premise of the movie as a given.
Yeah.
Like,
fences.
Yeah. Boy dinosaurs only.
Boy dinosaurs only. Better safety.
Yeah.
More security guards.
More herbivores. Fewer carnivores.
Yep. Because, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do with a T-Rex? Like, everyone's going to be like, ooh, look, it's a T-Rex head, and that's it. They're going to want it to, like, eat and all ramped up. And
they probably don't eat that often.
Yeah.
Like, one maybe, like, max would be, like, one big meal a day. Like,
yeah. So, T-Rexes are not good showing animals.
No. Whereas, like, a brontosaurus that, like, is trained to come and, like, let you rub its head.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Ugh, would be so good.
Amazing. Like, seeing that, like, seeing them walk across, like, that, that's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
At the very beginning when they're in the Jeep and they see the brontosaurus and he's just eating. Like, that's stuff you want to see. And I know, again, Jurassic World, everybody's bored of boring old herbivores,
but
those,
like,
people are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just, can I just pet a Triceratops?
Just a little bit? They're so cute.
Yeah. Oh. You know what we should have done? Just for fun, is watch The Land Before Time and do it as part of this. Because I love that movie, I think.
No, it's really upsetting.
I haven't seen it for so long.
I haven't seen it for so long, too, because it's really upsetting.
I know, but it's so good.
No, I'm just really sad.
Like, only the original. Don't watch the sequels.
Oh, well, yeah. There's, like, 20 of them.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
that brings us to the end of our delightful dinosaur discussion. If you want to find out more, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitters at Nature Finds a Pod. Or you can subscribe to our podcast by looking for Nature Finds a Way on your favorite podcasting apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website. You can leave us some comments. You can
leave us your favorite Jeff Goldblum gif.
There's so many.
As you would see if you already follow us on social media, since I kind of live gift the movie.
So good. Awesome. Well, tune in next time when we'll have some more biology facts and fiction to share with you.
Bye.